Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 9, Text 6. Evam svatanuja atmani anuraga veshita chitta shocha dhyayanavratta Niyama Guru Anala Shru Shru Shunari Opakurvanaka Karmani Anabhiya Kantani Api Samanu Shishtena Bhavyam Iti Asad Agraha Putram Anushasya Svayam tavad anadigata mano ratakalena brahmatena svayam griha eva pramata upasam retaha. Tanujay, in his son Jadbharat, Atmani, whom he considered to be himself, anuraga aveshita chitta, the Brahman who was absorbed in love for his son, shocha cleanliness, adhyayana study of Vedic literature, vrata accepting the vows, niyama regulative principles, guru of the spiritual master. Anula of the fire, Shushru Shana Adi, the service. And it goes on, it says the Brahmachari Ashram, all the activities of that ashram. Although not liked by his son, the Brahman fully instructed him. But the son was unsuitably obstinate, very stubborn. This putram, this son. So in spite of the instructing by his father, the father could not fulfill his desire, and kalena, by the influence of time, time which is apramatena, which is not forgetful, time never forgets when it has something to accomplish, the time always manages to accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish. This Brahman, Swayam Grihe, to his home, being attached, Pramata, he died, Upasam Ritaha. Translation, the Brahman father of Jad Bharat considered his son to be his own heart and soul, and therefore he was very much attached to him. He thought it wise to educate his son properly, and being absorbed in this unsuccessful endeavor, he tried to teach his son the rules and regulations of brahmacharya, including the execution of Vedic vows, cleanliness, study of the Vedas, and regulative methods, service to the spiritual master, and the method of offering a fire sacrifice. He tried his best to teach his son in this way, but all his endeavors failed. In his heart, he hoped that his son would be a learned scholar, but all his attempts were unsuccessful. Like everyone, this Brahmin was attached to his home and he had forgotten that someday he would die. Death, however, was not forgetful, and at the proper time, death appeared and took him away. Purport. Those too attached to family life, who forget that death comes in the future to take them away, become attached and unable to finish their duty as human beings. The duty of human life is to solve all the problems of life. But instead, people remain attached to family affairs and duties. Although they forget death, death will not forget them. Suddenly they will be kicked off the platform of a peaceful family life. One may forget that he has to die, but death never forgets. Death comes always at the right time. The Brahmin father of Jad Bharat wanted to teach his son the process of Brahmacharya, but he was unsuccessful. Because of his son's unwillingness to undergo the process of Vedic advancement, Sri Sri Gonitai Sri Jagannath Paladev Subhadra Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Lalita Vishakaki. He was unsuccessful because of his son's unwillingness to undergo the process of Vedic advancement. Jad Bharat was simply concerned with returning home back to Godhead by executing devotional service through Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. He did not care for the Vedic instructions of his father. When one is fully interested in the service of the Lord, he does not need to follow all the regulative principles enunciated in the Vedas. Of course, for an ordinary man, the Vedic principles are imperative. No one can avoid them. But when one has attained the perfection of devotional service, it is not very important to follow the Vedic principles. Lord Krishna advised Arjuna to ascend to the platform of Naishtrayagunya, the transcendental position above the Vedic principles. Trigunya Vishaya Veda, Naishtrayagunya Bharavijuna, Nirvanvo Nitya Satvastu, Niryoga Kshema Atmaman. The Vedas mainly deal with the subject of the three modes. Rise above these modes, O Arjuna, be transcendental to all of them, and be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety. And be established in the Self. Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Ete Namane. Namaste Saraswate Divam Gauramani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Pastitade Shatayane. The Brahmin father of Jad Bharat considered his son his life and soul, and therefore he was very much attached to him. He thought it wise to educate his son properly. And being absorbed in this unsuccessful endeavor, he tried to teach his sons the rules and regulations of brahmacharya life. He tried his best, but all his endeavors failed. In his heart, he hoped that his son would be a learned scholar, but all his attempts were unsuccessful. Like everyone, this Brahmin was attached to his home, and he had forgotten that someday he would die. And death, however, was not forgetful. At the proper time, death appeared and took him away. This reminded me of Srila Prabhupada's father, Gaur Mohan Day, who certainly was attached to his son, but in a way that he wanted him to become a devotee of Krishna and Srimati Radharani. He was like the father of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He told Abai, "You are my son, and sometimes I have to correct you. I'm obliged to correct you because I'm your father, so it's my duty." And even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father would chastise him, "Nimai, so don't mind." So Srila Prabhupada would talk about his father sometimes, and some of those memories are mentioned in the Lilamrita. In the mango season, we always had many mangoes to eat. I don't know if you've been in India for the mango season, but the production of mangoes is just enormous. And the stalls which sell mangoes have trays piled high with different types of mangoes. There's yellow mangoes, orange mangoes, and you can buy a lot of them for not very much. And you can eat mangoes as much as you want. So Prabhupada's talking about that. He said, we wouldn't have to think, can I have a mango? My father always provided the mangoes. They were 1 rupee for a dozen. And he was receiving 4 or 5 guests daily. And he gave 4 daughters in marriage. Some affection is between the father and son is mentioned, that Gaur Mohan wanted Abai to become a servant of Radharani, to have Vaishnava goals, to be a preacher of the Bhagavatam, and to learn to play the Madanga. But his mother thought that he should go to Britain and learn to become a lawyer. But Gaur Mohan would not hear of it. He didn't want Abai to be influenced by European dress and manners. But still, he once bought Abai a pair of shoes made in England. But he didn't want Abai to learn from the British drinking, women hunting, and meat eating. And he said, I don't want his money. Sometimes the parents invest their hopes, in their future hope, in the son. This was the case of Gopal Krishna Maharaj, my godbrother. You may know him. He was studying in Canada, and when the time came for Srila Prabhupada to initiate him, he informed his parents, and the mother sent a telegram to Srila Prabhupada, please don't initiate our son. He is our future hope. So Prabhupada said, I can't do it. Yeah, I got a telegram. And so it had to be, they waited a little while, and then anyway, he did it. So the idea that the son would provide for the parents in their old age, that was there. And Gaur Mohan didn't care what he said. I don't want his money, Abai's money. And the mother was skeptical. Why teach a young child to play the madanga? It's not important. But Gaur Mohan had a dream of his son growing up, and playing and speaking on the Bhagavatam, which Prabhupada ended up doing so successfully. You remember that story? Abhay saw a toy gun in the window of a shop and he wanted it. And his father said no, so he started to cry. And then Gormohan said, all right, all right. And he bought the gun. But then Abhay wanted another one. And you already have one, his father said. Wait, you want another one? One for each hand, Abhay cried. And he laid down on the street, kicking his feet. And then, when his father got the gun, he was satisfied. So something like this, the attachment between the father and son, this was in the family of Judd Bharat and his father. But his father wanted just to teach him some of the aspects of brahmacharya life, studying the Vedic literature, accepting certain vows, lighting a fire sacrifice. These things may be for the goal of just reaching higher planets, attaining a longer life and a better life, not for going back home, back to Godhead. So Judd Bharat was stubborn, obstinate, and his father's endeavor failed. And then the time came for death to remove the father from the family, and there was nothing the Brahmin could do, although he was attached to his home. He would have liked to stay there. But he had forgotten about death. But death didn't forget about him, so came and took him. Once a person appeared in the court of Yamaraj and he said to Yamaraj, I wasn't expecting that you'd kill me or take me. I'd have to die. Yamaraj said, no, but I gave you a reminder. Your hair turned gray, so you knew that I was coming in the form of death. So here it's said there are no exceptions when you have an appointment with death. You might be rich, but you can't bite off death and say, I'll give you lots of money if you don't take me. The rich try to do that. They try to have medical attention, a lot of expensive medical attention at the end. And if some woman is beautiful, she can say, oh, please, you know, don't take me, I'm very beautiful. Or even someone's very wise, he can't argue death out of the he can't argue his way out of the situation. Or if he's very strong, he can't fight with death and survive. So there's no exceptions. And Yudhisthira Maharaj was aware of that. He said, every day, thousands of people are being taken to the abode of Yamaraj, but almost everybody is living as if it's not going to happen. Nobody lives, you know, as if today is the last day of his life, and he has to have all his interests and priorities lined up. The most important thing, you know, has to be done. A person doesn't live like that. Or he lives with a mundane consciousness and he doesn't think of the spiritual. Recently, Bhakti Godhead had an article about by a devotee who had a friend and the friend had to die prematurely from some disease. And the parents and relatives took so much concern to try to find the cure. They didn't think, well, let's prepare, help the son prepare for this death. Let's make his life spiritual at this point. Engage him in chanting and hearing about Krishna. No, they put all their efforts into some medical solution. And the father himself at that time was 80 years old, and the father wasn't thinking either that, you know, it's soon going to happen to him. But the devotees do think about death. Actually, our Bhagavatam class is a daily reminder of the circumstance of death, because it was spoken during the last week of Parikshit Maharaj's life. He sat down to prepare for death. And so we're living in a more detached way than many people, because we are considering and not forgetting death. We don't get caught up in so many of the fleeting promises of life. Maya is there with so many fleeting promises. I'll make you happy if you do this. Let me give you this, and you'll see how life here is so nice. You should stay here and be attached to life in the world. The devotee neglects these kinds of promises for happiness and maintains his body, but for the sake of service of Krishna, not to try to achieve bodily happiness. So the devotee sees death as an opportunity or a door to the life of Satchidananda that he's trying to find. A life which will never be interrupted by death, a life full of knowledge, not interrupted by ignorance, and a life of happiness, not interrupted by misery. These things, ignorance and misery, they're always threatening our knowledge and our happiness. Ignorance is covering our inner wisdom, making us ignorant. We're bound by so many thousands of ideas because of the influence of ignorance and passion. We're thinking in thousands of ways how to become happy, and the heart is full of knots of attachment. We're tied in so many ways to thoughts of happiness here, but what we really want is lasting happiness, lasting satisfaction, immortal love and sweetness and beauty and mercy. We want all these things. But in this world, Maya's just slapping us. No, you can't have it. And we're frustrated again and again. And so we wander around the universe looking, where can I achieve this? And we know now as devotees, well, we can't find it unless we achieve the spiritual platform. So this is our search now, to reach the absolute platform where there's consciousness and the supreme consciousness. There's nitya nityanam chedanas chedananam. Everyone is eternal and everyone is conscious, and there's one supreme, eko bahunam yo vidadati kama, who is supplying the needs of everyone. So we're conducting that search now. And that's good that we're doing that. That's the goal of life. We've found the way to it. There's a direct way to find this happiness. That's Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness brings you right to the spiritual platform. And automatically, goodness is included. You have a good character if you follow the regulative principles. Not that, you know, you have to have a cigarette or something like that. So, in this way, we transcend these influences of passion and ignorance and even goodness. We're even higher, on a higher platform. the mode of goodness. Goodness just helps us. It isn't the cause of devotional service, Srila Prabhupada said. So we're established in the self, as Krishna recommends to Arjuna, be established in the self. What does that mean? Be established in the self means that I'm part of the whole. I'm just part of the whole. I'm not the master. I'm not the enjoyer. I'm not the controller. If I try to act in that consciousness of enjoying and controlling, it's considered diseased. And it has to be cured. Srila Prabhupada said it's like a delirious condition. Somebody might be in a very bad condition with a fever and in really high temperature, just burning and not be able to eat properly. And that's the condition of the people. They're all struggling hard to enjoy pleasures on the bodily platform. They're thinking, this is the goal of life. I just have to get pleasures on the bodily platform. So this condition has to be cured. By becoming enlightened, by understanding I'm not the body, not matter, but I'm spirit. That's enlightenment. I understand I'm spirit. That's like turning on a light switch and then the room is illuminated. One can come to that spiritual platform. And if we turn the lights off, and then sometimes they go out. Last week the lights went out during the beginning of the Guru Puja. We were standing in the dark all of a sudden. So thinking in the ordinary way is like that, with the lights off and thinking I'm this body and so on. So the path that Jad Bharat's father wanted to teach him wasn't so much this spiritual path, but the way of ordinary Vedic life, how to live in the Varnashram society and prosper and feel peaceful in this world. And many people, hope to achieve that. They work and become educated so that they can have a nice family and enjoy the comforts of life and not feel so much the distress of life. I saw a cartoon in one of my favorite magazines the other day. The man was talking to his wife, and he looked miserable, And the wife, he was sitting in the chair, and the wife was standing beside him. She was trying to give him some inspiration. She said, "Why don't you just feel happy about all the diseases that you don't have?" So if people have it good, if people have it better than others, then they think, yeah, now I'm in pretty good shape. And then they become attached to this life. And they forget about Satchidananda life. But that's how Krishna is. Krishna is Satchidananda. And we're too, but we're like the drop and he's like the ocean. We have the same quality, but in a small way. So just imagine how much enjoyment Krishna enjoys. We can enjoy. Everybody knows, you can enjoy. I can enjoy. You know how much enjoyment you can experience. But Krishna is the whole. We're just a part. So imagine Krishna's enjoyment, how wonderful it is. Prabhupada said the spirit soul can accomplish so much. We build so many things in the world. We organize so many things in the world. So just imagine the power of the Supreme. We're sending so many spaceships up now to different planets. They send whole computers in space vehicles and to fly past a planet and figure it out. But you know, this is part of their desire for, you know, life beyond this world. They're looking. And the Vedas also, they're directing people. You can go to the higher planets. Why don't you try to do that? But it's such a limited path. I mean, how you know, we can send up our spaceships, but there's so many stars, so many planets. How can we go to all of them? We have such limited power. So we're not capable of very much, really. Yet this world we live in, it has the power to divert us, a lot of power to divert us from the spiritual path by offering us temporary enjoyment, flickering happiness, just a little glitter, a little sparkle, and then the happiness is over. And then we have to look again. Okay, I'll stop there. Any questions? Yes. Why was the father not more purified by the association of Judd Bharat? You're saying it is described in the purports? Yeah. Well, he could get benefit in the sense that, you know, Judd Bharat could deliver him from more birth and death. It's a benediction that Prahlad got from Nrisimhadev. This, you know, you, because you're the pure devotee, generations of your family before and after will be delivered. So he could have gotten the father some benefit in that way, a long-term benefit, that in his next life he would maybe awaken his devotional service. But in this life it didn't happen. Just like with Srila Prabhupada's family members, they weren't all inspired like Srila Prabhupada. Hiranyakasipu said that family members come together by Providence's arrangement, and it's like people who come together on the highway in a restaurant. They stop and they get some refreshment and then they go on their way. You know, all the different cars might stop at a place on the road, on the highway, and to eat in a restaurant and get gas, get petrol. But then they all go in their individual directions. So family members are like that. They're brought together by providence in a family, but they have their own destiny. So Judd Bharat's father was a Brahmin. He was living out his destiny as a follower, nice follower of the Vedic life. So that wasn't changed too much, but maybe in the next life, better oriented toward devotion. Thanks for your question. It's good. Any other questions? I did think
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's mentioned that he didn't interact very much with the members of his Brahminical family. He acted as if he were blind and deaf. So, you know, that means like he was groping around. You know, if you don't have eyesight, you feel your way around with your hands. You have to move from one position to another using your hands. And if you're deaf, people think, well, what's the point of talking to him? I can't talk to him. So in that way, he wasn't influencing his family members so much. Maybe one point we can take away from the class in terms of the theme of the father educating the son is that we're in a situation in the ashram in which we have the opportunity to learn all the aspects of devotional service and practice them so that we become eligible to go back to Godhead. So we should not be stubborn or obstinate and fail to learn well, fail to learn as much as we can. We wouldn't want Srila Prabhupada or our spiritual master to feel frustrated that I was unsuccessful. I tried to teach this person Krishna consciousness, but he was too stubborn. I couldn't do it. So we have to respond, you know. Okay, I'll stop. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada.